4 and 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read one verse out of both of these openings, James 4 and 7, and then we're going to read the last verse in 1 Peter chapter 3. While you're turning there, let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to take us somewhere this morning. Wouldn't you like to figure out a way in your life that the little avenues the devil gets in your life, gets in my life to hinder, to steal the joy, the peace, to limit what God would do in our lives. Wouldn't you like to be able to recognize those things and just be able to cast them down immediately? That's what the Spirit of God is going to show us this morning, because I'm going to make a statement. And when I make this statement, you're going to say, "Now, wait a minute." But if you'll think about it and just meditate on it, and then when we get done with where the Spirit of God would have us to finish this morning, you're going to say, "Oh yeah." Regardless whether you recognize it, whether I recognize it or not, everybody submits to something. Come on, everybody, you're going to submit to something. You got to make the choice. Am I going to submit to the Lord, or am I going to submit? And so we're going to look at some scriptures that I had never looked at it this way before, that I didn't realize there's little ways that I submit to the devil and thus give him ammunition, give him an avenue to work in my life. And we're going to learn from the life of Jesus. Come on, you can't learn any better than when you're looking at the life of Jesus, right? So with that being said, I choose to submit, and I know you do too, to our Savior rather than any lying spirit of this world. All right, James 4 and 7, if you're there, say amen. Look what the Word of God says. It says, submit yourselves. You've got to make the choice. I've got to make the choice. It means to submit as a subordinate. It means to hear somebody else, in this case Jesus, as the one who has the first and final say. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Notice the contradiction here of what your choice will make in your life, what my choice will make. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Or what's the other? Resist the devil. So why is this in here? Because if you and I don't oppose, if we don't stand against the devil, in reality, we are submitting to him. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's just read verse 22. Now, if you mark in your Bible verse 21, you see that we're talking about the who is Jesus. But in verse 22, for sake of time, so you just make a mental note that the who, and you can get that from verse 21, the who is Jesus. Jesus has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Notice this, angels, authorities, and powers being made subject, being made submissive, they have submitted unto him. Jesus is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God. Angels, good and bad, authorities, heavenly and earthly, powers, heavenly and earthly, temporal and eternal, are being made subject, they have been made submissive unto him. Brother Donnie, would you pray?
For this word to come straight out of heaven. Lord, let us understand in all the flesh and the Father. Thank you, Father.
Yes.
All praise, work in it.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting Don and I be a part of your lives. We're very grateful and thankful for the family of God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Zach. You mean so much to me. You encourage me so much. Every time me and you talk, you bless me. Amen. I'm so thankful. So this morning, I want you and I just to look at some things by the leadership of the Spirit of God. When you and I, when we realize that everything is about a choice, and if when we let the Spirit of God show us some ways, we know what Jesus said. Jesus said the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so right now, I've been in a situation, several things in my life that I've been believing God for years, but I don't know if I haven't been proactive enough in it. I don't know if I've thought I've been in faith, and maybe I hadn't. But, you know, I've seen areas in my life where my health is not where it should be, because the devil is slowly, he's stealing, killing, and destroying. He didn't care how long it takes, you know. And so, you know, if you don't sleep and you don't rest, he slowly is stealing your health. And so that's one area in my life that I want to come up against every lie of the enemy. And I want to stand into the truth of the Word of God and believe what God has. But also there's other little areas where I don't realize how the devil's at, like a stealth bomber. He gets into my life and he starts trying to get me to yield to him, to submit to him. You and I, we got to realize that if we don't have something good to say about somebody, in the name of Jesus, help us shut our mouth. Because we're going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to, everything that's said this morning is going to come out of Scripture. But if you and I, if we're not careful, the devil will get in there, and he'll get us in a place and a position where we open ourselves up for him just to wreak havoc in our lives, just to bomb us here and to bomb us there, to bring death and destruction. Because when I speak, if I don't speak what God says, then I'm not submitting to God. I'm submitting to the devil. In every area of my life, I'm submitting to the devil. I give him authority to do what he wants to do in my life. And so I want to be wiser than the serpent, like the Bible says. I want to be harmless as dove, right? Matthew 10. And so we've got to get in that place and position. And so I got to realize everything is a choice. And so the Bible says that I can submit myself unto God. And so the greatest thing that you and I can do as Christians, as blood-washed believers, is understand that we're walking in fellowship with God. You have the Holy Spirit. I have the Holy Spirit. He's talking to us continually. And so he will correct us in love. He will guide us. He will instruct us. He will help us in so many of these ways. And we're able to resist those little ways that the devil works in our lives. See, the devil is wreaking havoc in so many of our lives in ways that we don't even see it. See, I'm just speaking what I feel in my spirit. But right now, I never seen a time in my life when there's so many unsatisfied Christians. And that's a lie of the devil. That's a work of the devil. I'm not satisfied with where I live. I'm not satisfied with what I wear. I'm not satisfied with where I work. I'm not satisfied in my relationships. All of it. That's the devil. You and I, we're to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We're to be thankful and be thankful always, rejoicing always. And so these are little ways that the devil gets in our lives, and I start submitting to that. And when I submit to that, then it what? It opens up the door for more rebellion, more disobedience, because he brings more deception. And so I know we need to get into this. So I want you to just see, let's reread this in verse 22, talking about Jesus, 1 Peter 3:22, who Jesus, who is gone into heaven. Aren't you glad that the one who loves you enough to die for you, he pierced the second heaven, and he went on into the third heaven. See, when Adam and Eve, when mankind sinned, and the devil got the stronghold of this earth, he put all of his army, all of the evil spirits, the fallen angels that followed him, he put them between earth and the third heaven, and he took over the second heaven, and he blocked off everybody from being able to go back to God. We had no avenue, no way to God. And so Jesus said, I'll be the lamb that saves the world. I'll be God's son that is born of woman, and I'll come and I'll walk and live sinless, and I'll overcome the devil, and I'll be the open door that'll go back to the third heaven. I'll penetrate the second heaven. Amen. So your Lord, your Savior, he's made the way for you and I not to be stuck here, not to only have hope in this world, but we've got hope in heaven, the eternal. Amen. All right. So he's gone. He's made this penetration. But look what happened when he done it, when he sat down on the right hand of God. that he took and he made angels, these three areas, angels, good and bad, but authorities, good and bad, and powers, he made them subject, he made them submit to him. So there is nothing in your life, the Christian's life, that can dominate you. Everything of the devil, Jesus has done, made him submit to him. So this morning, you're in a place and a position because you're in Christ and he's in you. And your confidence is in the one that's sitting on the right hand of the Father so much that Ephesians 2:6 says that you're seated with him. And so because you're seated with him, then you've got this same power and authority over these three areas of the way the devil would want to work in your life. You don't have to bow down to him. You don't have to submit to any lie, to any deception, to any of those things because you have victory. And so we've got to tell each other, remind each other of this truth. We've got to start walking into it and start living it. Now, I want us to see some things here. Now, he said, being made subject. Now, that means that for it to be made subject to you and I, you've got to feed your faith on that. I've got to feed my faith on that. We've got to receive that truth and start to apply it. So let's look at some areas and just remind ourselves of some things. Brother Josh, I know you got your hands full, but can you put Isaiah 9, 6, and 7? Let's look what the Bible says about Jesus. This is our favorite scriptures coming into Christmas time, and we're in the Christmas season. But remember what the Bible says about your Savior, my Savior. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. We talk about it, Pila, Miracle, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now look at verse 7. Of increase of his government and peace there be, shall be no end. In other words, his authority.
Right.
There's no end to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all came to pass when he submitted himself to God's plan. He said, God, I know that this is the only way that my brothers and sisters, your children, can be saved. And I'm going to submit myself to that. And so that government, it's increasing and it's increasing. You're not going down. You're not getting weaker. You're getting stronger because you're feeding your faith in the Word of God. You're building up your relationship in Jesus. Amen. Now, we don't have time to cover the full thought, but you mark down in your mind, and Brother Josh, you turn to Daniel 7:13. You need to read verses 9 through 14. We don't have time for that, but let's just look at verses 13 and 14. And Daniel here tells us a little bit about this kingdom, about the government of Jesus. I saw in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man. What did Jesus call himself all the time? Come on, the Son of Man. He came with clouds of heaven. Come on, Jesus is coming back. There's going to be a sounding of a trumpet. You and I are looking and believing for it, amen? That last trumpet, things are going to happen. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Now look at verse 14. And there was given him what? Dominion. Jesus has authority. Either you reign or you don't. Your Savior, Jesus the Christ, he reigns. He's given unto him dominion and glory and the kingdom. You and I, we're in the kingdom. Come on, you're in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? And that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his what? His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Come on, this earth is going to burn up. It's going to be cleansed. God's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth, but the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, your King, his dominion in your life, his dominion in my life is going to increase. It's going to grow. It's going to go on forever and ever. We don't have to submit. I don't have to submit to that thought that the devil's trying to put in my mind of division. I don't have to submit to that thought that the devil's putting in my mind about discouragement. I don't have to submit to that thought that the devil's putting in my mind about depression. Come on, all of these things are running rampant right now. The Christian people are depressed. They're discouraged. They're in a place right now because you look and see what's happening all around us, and it seems like the devil is winning time and time again. When you can steal elections, when you can just take away the will of the majority and impose the will of a minority that's being influenced by the enemy, it's a scary time. But we can't let that influence us. Come on, we're Christian. We're Americans, yes, but we're Christians. And our government is in heaven. It's not here on earth. And we're going to have a government that's going to last forever. I'm sorry. Those who trust in this, thank God for the American flag. But come on, the American flag is going to go, it's going to burn up. Because there's only going to be one flag, and that's the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ. His banner over me is, look, his flag over me, Jehovah Nissi. The flag is the love of the Lord. And God demonstrated that love in Jesus. So Jesus is the flag over you and I, and he's everlasting. Amen. You can rest in that this morning. All right. So your Lord, my Savior, the one who penetrated that second heaven and went to the third heaven and sat down and made a seat for me. Say, Jesus made a seat for me. Woo! He wants you and I to know that right now we're going through battles. He's done won the war. We're going through battles, but we're going through. And we're going through as overcomers. And so he's overcome everything that could limit and hinder you and I. So let's look at some things out of the Word of God that will build us up and strengthen us this morning. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. And right now, you know, we're having strange things happening. You know, we had a hurricane hit Florida. And now we've got another one late in the season that tropical storm and all these things. We've got a lot of odd things that's happening because there's some things and plans of the enemy to try to bring dominion. But you and I, as we encounter things, we've got to see that Jesus has dominion, because that's what we just read, right? And you've got to rest in that. So let's build our faith in some of the dominion of our Savior. In Matthew chapter 8, look at starting in verse 23, I guess. And we need to read all of this to really understand. Matthew 8, 23. And when he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. You and I, you know, as long as we stay with Jesus, we're going to be all right. Come on, stay in the ship with Jesus. Don't get out of the ship. The ship ain't going down. Stay with the Lord. Verse 24, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. Now, it's in the sea. It's not in the ship. The trouble is on the outside of you. It's not on the inside of you. There is peace on the inside of you. So as long as you know who you're serving, as long as you know where you're at, all is well. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with the waves. But he, Jesus was asleep. See, I got to learn how to rest when the waves are coming all around. I'm supposed to be able to sleep. You're supposed to be able to sleep. The Bible says the Lord gives his beloved sleep in Jesus' name. It doesn't matter what kind of turmoil is out here. You and I were supposed to be able to say, Lord, I'm going to let you take care of everything, because Jesus is not worried this morning. He's not one worried a bit about what's happening in our nation, what's happening in the world. He's not worried because he's what? He's had a plan from the foundation of the world. We've got to learn to rest in this. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Aren't you glad that you can talk to the Lord anytime about anything, and you can be honest with how you feel? Right. Sometimes I got to tell him some of the things, and after he shows me the truth, my face turns red, and I say, thank you, Lord, that you understand, that you're touched by the feelings of my infirmity, that you're touched, you know that I'm made flesh, and you understand me, and you don't judge me, but you're there to pull me closer to you. Isn't that amazing? I mean, come on. Jesus, he could have got aggravated. He didn't get aggravated. He was so glad that they come and just were honest with him. Jesus loves honesty. What Jesus can't stand is that hypocritical spirit. But if you and I, if we're talking to him out of an honest heart, oh my, look what happens. Verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are you fearful? Now, this is not a rebuke. This is, he's simply trying to get their attention. He said, look, I'm laying here asleep because I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Tonight, you and I are going to look at some things that's going to bring us, unless the Lord changes it, that's going to bring us into a place of more freedom than we've ever had before. And as we see that freedom in our life, we need to be like Jesus here and say, I know where I'm going. I'm not bound by the idols of this world. I'm not bound by the flesh. I know who I serve. I know who saved me, and I know where I'm going. He said, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? So, in other words, he's saying, listen, you need to feed your faith. Build yourself on the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Hear what God says. Then he arose, and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great, not a little bit, but a great, a mega, calm. Look at this, verse 27. That's why we come here. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? That's your Savior. See, the devil had a plan to destroy what God was going to do. Did he do it? No, because Jesus is greater than the lie, the power of the devil. And so where it said, even the winds and the sea obey him. Now, mark this down. This word obey, it means to hear as a subordinate. So now, don't get mad at me, but if you're having some problems with the devil this morning, you've got to learn to do like Jesus. You've got to learn to make the devil bow by the Word of God. See, they marveled because the winds and the sea obeyed Jesus. But the winds and the sea wouldn't obey Jesus if Jesus hadn't stood up and spoke what? Peace. He spoke the Word. So you and I, we've got to learn how to speak the Word of God. We've got to let the Spirit of God inspire us and speak what God says about the situation, and it'll bring what God's promised. See, in my life, there's some certain places right now I'm believing God for. I don't see Him in the natural, but I see Him in the Spirit. You can see Him in the Spirit. And so you've got to start speaking and saying what Jesus said. You've got to make things bow to the Word of God. But you have to speak the Word of God. Nobody can do it for you. I can't come up to you and pray the prayer of salvation over you. You've got to believe in the heart and then you're saved. Well, that's the same way in every situation of our life. Okay, go with me to Mark chapter 1. So he's over the winds and the storms, so you and I can rest in that reality. But he's also, he's, and we could have looked there, but we'll look here. He's also over the devil. Look at starting in verse 21, Mark 1:21. And they went into Capernaum. They went into the village of comfort. And straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered in and into the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had what? Authority. He has dominion. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. He had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. See, the devil is going to talk and try to make you and I back up on what God said, what Jesus is saying. See, all of a sudden they hear Jesus talk, and they see he has one as of authority. Now, as we close this message, we're going to see why he had authority, and we're going to learn how to apply it to our lives where we can have the same authority. But can you imagine? Let's apply this into our own life. You and I, like I say, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. I'm going to sleep tonight. Well, guess what the devil's going to do? He's going to come and try to challenge that. Or maybe you're believing, you're saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And so what's the devil going to do? He's going to come and increase the symptoms. Or you're saying, hey, I've been given. The devil's going to come. He's going to attack your finances. He's going to do whatever he can to get you to doubt what God has said. And so we see that right here. So the man with the unclean spirit, and he cried out, not the man now, the spirit, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who art the Holy One of God. This unclean spirit knew who Jesus was. Now, the disciples here, they don't even know who Jesus is yet. They're trying to walk with Jesus. They don't even know he's the Son of God. They think he's a teacher. Now, you ought to take comfort in that. The devil and all of his cohorts, they already recognize who Jesus is. They recognize he's got the victory. He's got dominion. But your victory, your dominion comes when you recognize who Jesus is above them. Amen. Let us alone. What have we to have to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who art the Holy One of God. Verse 25. Jesus rebuked, remember what we said, he spoke and made them subordinate, made them come under the Word of God. You've got to speak the Word of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Now Jesus said, the works I do, you are to. But see, that makes us feel uncomfortable. So maybe we ought to just mark this part out of the Bible. And let's just go to church with people who are hurting. Because we don't want to be uncomfortable. What if God don't do what he said he would do? Hold thy peace and come out of him. Verse 26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, the devil is not going to shut up. He's going to fight you all the way. But you don't listen to his voice. I don't listen to his voice. Amen. Verse 27. And they were what? All amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, with dominion, with power, with force, for with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. They hear what he says. Now, this morning the devil hears what you say. Am I saying what God says or am I saying what I feel? See, I have a tendency, if I'm not real careful, to say what I feel. And what I feel is 180 degrees away from what my faith level is supposed to be. So we got to be so cautious that we're talking about little ways of coming into obedience where we can be empowered to walk in victory. Because the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. See, these are just little glimpses of things that we can disobey that gives the devil added arsenal, added power to work in our lives. Amen. All right, so Jesus, he has everlasting dominion. He's then broke through the devil's best blockade. He has dominion over the wind and the sea. In other words, he has dominion over everything this earth can throw at you and I. But he's got dominion over every unclean spirit, every spirit that would try to pollute you and I and keep us out of the will of God. The name of Jesus is the answer. So with that dominion, now let's come back to a reality that may shake us just a little bit. It's easy, now, and when I say this, somebody's going to disagree with it, but if you'll just wait and think about it, it's easy for Jesus to have dominion over the earth because he created it, and it obeys him. It's easy for Jesus to have dominion over the devil and all of his cohorts because Jesus defeated them on the cross. But you know where Jesus has the biggest trouble of having dominion? In the Christian, because he gave us free will. Ephesians 1, look at, just for sake of time, look at verse 22. And let's just see, it goes back to choice again, because he has it, but it's up to us to yield to it and walk in it. Ephesians 1, 22. We're studying the book of Ephesians on Wednesday night. We've been trying to get it online, and every time we do, something happens just to mess us up. I don't know what I need to do about that. You'd be praying about it. We can't keep internet for some reason. But look at verse 22, talking about Jesus, and hath put all things under his feet. Under God has put everything under the feet of Jesus. Now notice this, and gave him, God gave Jesus to be the head over all things to the church. There is not one thing in your life, in my life, that when we become, remember Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, Matthew 16, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So when you and I are in the church, if we accept Jesus to be the head over all things of our life, then that's the final say. But see, if we're not careful, I want Jesus to save me because I don't want to go to hell. But I don't want him to be the head of my thought life because I want to think what I want to think. I don't want him to be the head of my mouth because I want to say what I want to say. I don't want him to have dominion in my relationships because I want to have a relationship with who I want to, all of those things. And you have free will. I have free will to do that. But the Bible says he's to be the head over all things in the church. And until I let him be the head of that, then guess what? Here's the devil. Remember, submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil and he will. So you got a contradiction here. You're either going to submit to God. I'm either going to submit to God or I'm going to submit to the devil. See, we painted a false picture. We gave a narrative that hasn't been clear. We've let people think that if they get born again, everything's going to be all right. No, thank God. You're going to have a destiny of heaven, yes. But you're going to live a life of hell here on earth until you submit, until I submit to the Lord. And that's why there's so many people who says, well, I just don't want nothing to do with that. Because I see people, they're worse off than they was before. Because they're not looking at the spiritual side, they're looking at the natural side. Okay. I knew that would excite you. Let's go back to 1 Peter and let's see how we can apply this. Or we can be made strong, strong, strong. Say, I'm going to be strong. This time go to chapter 2. Now let me ask you this question. I just got a few more verses here to really put in your heart by the power of the Spirit of God. Brother Larry, how powerful is grace? Right? Okay, so hold what he just said in your heart as we look at what Jesus done for you and I, and let's remember that the grace of God is immeasurable. That means that the devil cannot limit it in any form or way. Amen? All right. Look, just for sake of time, you need to read all of this. Of course, we can't. So start in verse 18. 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, say, I'm a servant. Aren't you glad that you're a child that can serve? Before I served the devil. But now I can be a child of God and serve him. Amen. Servants, be subject. Come on, this act of submission. Be subject to your masters with all fear. Now here, of course, as Peter's writing this, in this day and age, in this time, he's dealing with the carnal side of this, the natural side of this, to show the spiritual. They had literal slaves, and if you and I will put the phone down long enough and look up, that's what the devil's bringing back. He's bringing back a whole class of slaves. I know that upsets people, but this is the truth. That's the whole point. He wants to bring everybody that has freedom and liberty back into servitude. It's happening before our eyes. Okay, I'm not going to look up. I'm just going to look. All right. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to good and gentle, but also to the forward. Now, if you want to do a study to understand some things, this forward here is where we get our English word for scoliosis. How many knows what scoliosis is? Come on, it means your backbone is twisted. It's made crooked. Kayla has got that situation. And it's a painful, very painful. But here he's saying that you and I, if we're going to learn how to walk like Jesus, that you're going to meet people in your life and they're going to be perverse. They're going to be crooked in their talk. They're going to be crooked in their actions. But when they get crooked in your life, when they do perverse things in your life, He's going to show you how to overcome and not let them have a dominating effect in your life. Amen? Now, please stay with me. For this is trustworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffering wrongfully, this word grief is sadness and sorrow, for what glory is it if you have been buffeted for your faults? You shall take it patiently. In other words, we know that people get in trouble all the time. There's people in jails that are guilty. There's people in jails that are innocent. But you and I, we do things, and people do things to us, and they've done it wrongfully and in a perverse way. But look what he says. Yeah, you take it patiently. But if you do well suffering for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. Now, this word acceptable, that's why I asked you that question. 131 times, this is translated grace. So let's reread this verse, the last part. He said, but if when you do well, you suffer for it and you take it patiently, this is grace with God. Change acceptably, because like I said, 131 times it's translated grace. So you and I, when somebody comes against us and does something that's crooked, perverse, we can depend upon the grace of God to overcome it. You need to hear this morning. The devil is showing some things in our life that were that because of what has happened to us from other people. You realize what they have done. If that moves you from faith to feelings, so listen to me. You're submitting to them instead of God. If they take your peace, you're submitting to them because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If they take your joy, you're submitting to them because in Jesus, He's the source of all joy. He said, I'm going to give you my joy that your joy may be full. You see how little ways we can get on the devil's territory? We can come in agreement with him instead of agreement with the Lord. And we're not resisting the devil, but we're in agreement with him. And it's bringing an avenue for the devil to work in our life. He piles more and more on us to hurt us, to hinder us, to limit us, to steal our vision, our hope, our confidence. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called. You were called by God's grace. Come on. Ephesians 2:5. By grace you are. And you've been called into that grace. So that grace is going to empower you and I when these perverse things come against us, not to let it change the way we think, the way we feel, or any of those things. Amen? For hereunto you were called because Christ also suffered for us. Now mark that down in your Bible. Highlight it in your Bible app. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. This example, it means it's a way of imitation. It's a word that you can speak out of your own life. And it will change your life to walk in the same way with Him. To walk in peace, to walk in victory, to walk in joy, to walk in success. For even unto you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. I can walk the way Jesus walked. The devil doesn't want me to believe that. He wants me to believe that I'm always going to be depressed. I'm always going to be anxious. I'm always going to be nervous. Y'all may not deal with these things, but I deal with all these emotions, these things of the flesh that steal, kill, and destroy. I'm sick of it. I want to live an overcoming life. I want to walk and live in victory. I want to bring hope to people who says, oh my gosh, I watched them struggle with that. I watched him struggle with that all of his life. Jesus is real. Amen? It's available to us. Now look what happens. Verse 22. who did no sin. Now, he said, I can follow his example. Jesus did no sin. See, we've got to a place now where we just start accepting sin. Oh, it's okay. Everybody sins. Yes. And thank God we've got an advocate with the Father when we do sin. But you and I, we're going to have to stop making excuses for sin and start realizing that Jesus can empower us to step up over sin. And we need to teach it. It offends people. I understand that. But we need to teach that we can overcome some things. Because as long as I'm willing to say, well, you know, I love Jesus, but I sure do like this too. Only one God. Only one place on the seat of your heart. Only one place on the seat of my heart. Who did no sin. Now notice this. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. Now hold that in your mind. And look at the next verse. We're getting here. We're almost here. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, when he was reproached, when he was criticized. How many has been criticized this week? Come on. Every one of us has been criticized. And usually the criticism hurts the worst when it comes from those who is the closest to us. Amen? Think about Jesus. His own brothers, his own sisters didn't understand him. His brother come to him and said, hey, won't you go on down to Jerusalem? If you really are a prophet, if you really are somebody, you need to be at the feast. Go on down there. Because he knew when he went down there, they would kill him. Do you see his attitude toward Jesus? Come on, you and I, we've been criticized. We've been reproached. People have come again, but they haven't brought us to the point where they said, I want you dead. That's what his brother's saying, because he's standing right there in that place and saying, I'm so much against you and what you're having to say because you're coming against the Jewish religion and tradition. I'd rather have you dead. Come on, that's deep stuff right there. I've got family that don't like me, but I don't believe they want me dead. Amen? Now notice, who when he was reviled, notice what it says, he reviled not again. There was no guile, no deceit found in his mouth. He didn't open his mouth. And we're talking about little ways of disobedience where we're not submitting to God, but we're submitting to the devil. See, when somebody says something against me, before long, if I'm not careful, I'm saying something against them. Because I'm talking out of my feelings and not out of faith. And when I do that, the devil, all of a sudden, there's a big blip on the radar. And that big blip is, it's got my heart right there. And the devil goes, I got him. I got him where I want him. And so what does the devil do? He sends the spirit according to what I've just spoke out that will bring more bondage, that will bring more deceit, that will bring more discouragement, that will bring more depression to work in my life. That's why the Bible says in the book of Psalms that as a deer panteth after the Lord. In other words, that deer said, I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. What does a deer do, Brother Donnie, when it's running from the dogs? Hits the water. It hides. We got to hide in the washing of the water of the Word, Ephesians 5:26. Jesus is that water. The devil can't find you when you're in the Word because all he sees is Jesus. And you know what happens when he sees Jesus? He sees defeat.
Glory.
There's a prophet up in Missouri that I talked to. He sent me a message the other day and other morning. And when I read it, I thought, I don't know about that. And he said, the Lord wants you to know that. And this wasn't just to me. This was to his whole ministry. He said, the Lord wants everybody that I'm sending this message to know that when the devil looks at you, as long as you keep your mouth shut, all he sees is the blood. All he sees is the righteousness of Jesus, and he can't do anything. He can't tell you from Jesus. And I thought, I had to meditate on that and think on that and start looking up scripture. And he said, but when you open your mouth, your mouth determines whether he can do anything or not in your life. So I just laid that on the shelf, and then all of a sudden, then the Spirit of God started speaking this into my heart yesterday, and I thought, how timely God is to get us in that place, in that position. See, that come to prepare me for this. Amen? Because that's the truth. So there was no guile found in his mouth. And notice what it says. Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. He kept his mouth shut. Notice this. When he suffered, he threatened not. Now, if somebody comes up and they spit in your face, if they slap you, I mean, it depends on how close we are to the Lord at that moment, right? What we're going to do. See, Jesus, though, he understood who he was submitted to. He said, I am submitted to the Father. I want to encourage you this morning by the Holy Ghost, okay? Hold your place right here and let's look at some things. I want you to see some truth that will help you. How many's got lost loved ones, lost friends that you're believing is going to come out of lies and deception and come into a relationship with Jesus? Every one of us, right? Okay, when we start applying this to our life, it becomes a witness and a powerful testimony that is so glorious, they can't deny it. Hold your place right here and go with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Let's see something. I want you to see what Jesus, how powerful his testimony was. Now notice he's going to tell us how many people is coming against him to hinder and hurt him. Look in verse 21, Matthew 16:21. From that time forth, begin Jesus to show. Now this word show, it means that he demonstrated with words that brought a picture of understanding. It brought a spiritual clarity. And he began to show unto his disciples, say I'm a disciple, how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things, notice this, of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. Now, this would be the type of the church today. You know how many people is not in church today because they've been hurt? The Lord brought some people to my remembrance that I'd long forgot about. I used to go to church with, and I don't know where they're at, but I've been praying for them since this come across my heart. We couldn't count everybody that we know that used to be in church with us. But see, we've got to learn how to apply this scripture where we can have some answers. It says, chief priests and the scribes, and be killed. Jesus is going to be killed and be raised up again the third day. In other words, Jesus said, when they reproached me, when they reviled against me, when they talked against me, but when they come and they actually touched my body, he said, I kept my mouth shut. You say, well, what does that really mean? See, you and I, we want to see people saved, but they're watching you, they're listening to you when you don't even know it. There's one time years ago, Donna had me doing something I didn't want to do. And she wanted to go to this certain place and I didn't want to go with, and there was a certain people there. And, I was, being a butt. And, when I walked around the corner, I knew the person that we was going there to see saw me, but there was nothing I could do about it. But see, it didn't matter because what's on the inside is what God sees anyway. See, our life's not our own. It's not what we want. It's what he wants. Turn over to the 17th chapter. Look at verse 12. Jesus said, red letter, but I say unto you that Elijah is come already. and they knew him not. Now notice this, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, whatever they wanted to do. Now look at this. Likewise, last part of the verse, shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Now, I don't know about you, when somebody hurts my feelings or they come against me or my family in some way, I just make up my mind, well, I'm going to avoid them. Did Jesus do that? Now we're talking about submitting to God, so we won't submit to the devil. We're talking about how Jesus said when they reviled against me, when they talked against me, they criticized me, I didn't criticize them. When they touched me in body, I didn't touch them back. Right? Now look what happens. Go with me to the, over to about the 27th chapter, I believe it is. Look at Jesus is fixing to die on the cross, but let's just for sake of time read verse 54. Matthew 27:54. Now when the centurion, you know, he's a Roman centurion, he's a captain of 100 men. And when the centurion and they that were with him. So how many men was with him? He's a centurion, he's a captain over 100 men. So we're talking about 101 people, all right, and those that were with the following of those that were close with Jesus. And when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, who are they looking at? Who are they looking at when they look at you? Jesus in you. When they were watching Jesus, they saw the earthquake and those things that were done. Now notice this. They, mark it down in your Bible, highlight it on the table of your heart. They feared greatly. They reverenced greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So how are we going to reach those people that seemingly are unreachable? How are we going to reach those people who are being used by a crooked and perverse world? How are we going to see them come to the realization that Jesus is real? Go back to 1 Peter. Let's reread it. Verse 23. That's right. Amen. Show them Jesus. 1 Peter 1:23. Jesus, when he was reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. Why? But he committed himself to him. He committed himself to God that judgeth righteously. Jesus said, I entrust myself to the Father to be my judge, to take care of me. God's going to take care of you. You don't have to fight your own battles. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. The Lord will fight your battle. Let him fight your battle. Right now, some of you are having some battles with some different situations with family and co-workers and all of these things. Just trust in the Lord. Say, give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to let you fight this. I'm going to let you have the final say. I'm not going to submit to the devil. I'm not going to let my thoughts, my words be influenced by the devil anyway. The Bible says I can walk in love. The Bible says I can have speech that is seasoned with salt. That I can speak the truth in love and cause people to grow up. I'm going to do all of those things, not because I'm doing it, because the Holy Spirit in me is working Jesus before me. Amen? Come on, that's powerful. We can have things change now. And notice what happens in closing. Verse 24 and 25. Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body, on the tree. That means everything I would ever do, say, think, whatever, Jesus, he carried it to the cross for me. He carried it to the cross for you. There's no use in me picking it up. He done it for me. Notice this. That we, being dead to sins, Romans 6, you meditate on Romans 6 and just let it come alive to you. When you get born again, you got to know, I've got to know that our old man was crucified. And we got to learn how to walk in the newness of life. Amen. How to walk in that being baptized into the body of Christ. Being dead to sin should live under righteousness. He wants you to live Now, see, if we're not careful, once again, we get back into what we do and what we don't do. No, let Him do what's right in your life. I've got to let Him do what's right in my life. The way I do it is I say it. But as long as I say what the devil's saying, I'm not doing what's right in my life. I'm doing what the devil wants to undo in my life. The bad things and all those things. By whose stripes ye were healed. I've got to see that I've got to have some healing in my life, spirit, soul, and body, that can only come by me submitting to God. And when I submit to God, that healing is going to come. Spirit, soul, and body. And it's going to be a glorious thing that's going to make people see Jesus high, exalted, lifted up. It's going to make them be drawn unto Him. Amen. Verse 25. For ye were as sheep going astray. I can relate, can't you? But are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. Let Jesus shepherd you. He's got a rod and a staff to comfort us. He's got a rod that will correct us if we'll receive it. But He's got a staff when we start to get out of the way just a little bit that He can hook around us and pull us back to Him. But let Him shepherd. In other words, say, Lord, I know that I don't know which way to go unless You tell me. I want You to be the bishop. I want You to be the authority in my life. And when You and I make up our mind about that and we give that authority to Him, all of a sudden we're submitted to Him. And if we're submitted to Him, the devil has no area to work in your life or my life. I'll close with this thought. The Los Angeles Times, about 40-something years ago, no longer than that, about nearly 50 years ago, they run a story, and it was a story about a young man. His family had moved away from the family home, and when he got an opportunity, some 20 years later, just a little over 20 years later, he come back to that town and he thought he would drive past his old home place. And he drove past his own home place and he just pulled there on the side of the street and parked, and he was just looking and thinking about the times he climbed that tree and how he went up in that window off that tree limb when he was a kid and all those things. And about that time, the owner of the house walked out. And so he said to him, hey, I was born here, and I was raised the first my teenage years. I was raised in this house. Would you care if I just went up to my old room and looked around? And he said, I had a hiding place in my closet. I'd like to see if there's something still there. And that man was intrigued by that thought, and he said, yeah, come on. So he took him in the house, and he looked at everything, seen how everything had changed. But he went to his old room, and he had a place in the back of his closet where that went up to the access in the attic. And he opened up that panel, and he reached up in there, and he pulled down a leather jacket that he had when he was a teenager. And he said, I put that up there, and when we left, because he used to keep cigarettes in it. You know how you got to hide stuff from your mom and dad, you know. But he said, I'd forgot all about that. And he said, would you care if I had it? And he said, well, the man said, well, sure, it's yours. It ain't mine. You can have it. So he thanked the man, and he went out, and he was looking at that. And, of course, there's some stuff in it that shouldn't have been. But then he reached in the other pocket, and there was a stub in there where he dropped off some leather shoes to get fixed. And he looked at that and he thought, I wonder if that place is still in business. So he took that stub and he went down to that shoe store and he threw that claim ticket on the counter and he said, I'm here to pick up my shoes. And the guy looked down at that ticket and he said, okay, just a minute. He went back in the back and he was gone forever. And he come to the front and he said, yeah, they're here, but you need to pick them up next Thursday. See, he had submitted the shoes to him. He kept on the card, but nothing was ever done about it, even though those shoes had been there 20 years. See, you and I, if we're not careful, we can live and die. We can have our ticket. We're going to heaven. But the final work has never been done. Let's get the work of the Lord done in our own life. Let's bring Jesus glory. Amen. And let's bring in the centurions. The centurion is the one that helped kill Jesus. Have you read the story about the man who stuck the spear in Jesus? Where the blood, the water. Read it. If you haven't read it, read what history tells us about that man. See, the power of being a part of something that's real cannot be denied. Don't you want to be a part of something that's real? Come on, you are. You are. Father,